Dear Christian friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today is All Saints Sunday. It's a festive day in the church. We remember those saints who have died within the past year. We celebrate the promise of eternal life that God gives to all of them and all believers. You know, one of the things that stood out in all three of our lessons today were tears. Wiping away tears, and Jesus weeping. And one of the realities of living in this life is there are going to be tears. And I think that's one of the things we look forward to the most about looking forward to heaven is that day when there will be no more tears, or when, as the text from Revelation says, God himself will wipe away our tears. You know, there's a story of a woman who was just overcome with grief, and she was really struggling to just pull it together. And finally, she went to her spiritual advisor and says, can you help me? And he said, go out and find me a pillow that has never had tears roll down upon it, and said, bring that pillow to me, and then I will cure you. Well, as she went to each household and said she needed to have a pillow with no tears, each household had their story of tears. There was the husband whose wife died in childbirth. There was the family whose son was killed in combat. There was the family who had a child die from cancer. And the stories went on and on. And with each story, her grief entered into the story of others who were grieving, and she suddenly discovered her grief was eased because she no longer bore her grief alone as the only one who was grieving, but she was now with all the others who had grieved too, and she received consolation in her own grieving by sharing with others. Yeah, I'll never forget the church where I did my internship in an 11-year period had 9 youth die tragically. Can you imagine 9 of your youth over an 11-year period being killed in car wrecks or plane accidents or with a poisoning, with a heart ailment? And the one who died while I was there working with the youth, they had a youth outing up in Colorado, and one of the kids was climbing up the side of a rock formation and fell and died when he hit his head coming down. To realize that's the world we live in. It is a world of grief. And we look forward to that day when there will be no more tears. But as long as we're here, there will be. And so we realize that even Jesus, when he goes to the grave of Lazarus, we're told he wept. And why? The Jews said, see how he loved him. Tears are a sign of love. And we don't cry for those who have died. We cry for ourselves because we're the ones living without them. Those who have gone before us have the hope, have the promise of eternal life. We don't grieve for those who have gone on to be with God. We grieve our loss, and we miss those people. And we all have faced tears of grief at the loss of those we loved. But our text today talks about a new heaven and a new earth, the book of Revelation. And so we're saying that this present reality is going to pass away and that there will be a new existence with God, a new Jerusalem. An existence with no more tears or crying, no more death, no more sin, no more doubt, but living in the presence of God for eternity. That's the promise that is held out for us and for our loved ones who have gone on before us. Now, there are many questions that the Bible doesn't answer about what is heaven going to be like. Will we recognize and be with those loved ones who have gone before us? You know, Jesus says there's no marriage in heaven. What will our relationship be like with those we have loved then if we're not married to them in heaven? What's that going to be like? Or Audrey last week said, will there be pets in heaven? You know, or my question is there golf in heaven? You know, I hope so, but you know, you never know. What are those things? You know, will we need to eat? Sleep? Will we poop? You know, is there going to be somebody that's got to clean that stuff? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about what heaven is going to be like. I like that contemporary Christian song, I Can Only Imagine. Beautiful song that just says, you know, I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be. I can only imagine what heaven is going to be like. You know, the Bible paints kind of pictures for us, you know, streets of gold, yeah, walls encrusted with precious jewels, you know, a throne where light emanates and the saints gather around the throne and sing God's praises. And yet when they say hundreds and millions of people gathered around that throne, how close can you get to the throne? You know, how does that imagery work? There's a lot we don't understand, but it's a place of glory. It's a place of worship. You know, we can look forward to that, but we can only imagine what it's going to be like. I know one of the illustrations that's most helpful for me is that of an unborn child. Imagine if an unborn child had its mind fully developed and wondered, what is life outside the womb going to be like? You know, an unborn child would not know color because in the womb, all it knows is darkness. How do you explain color to someone who's never seen? Or inside the womb, it's soft in a watery existence. It's warm. How do you describe North Dakota to a child in the womb? You know, how do you describe rocks and hard surfaces to a child that's known nothing but soft and warmth? You can't. There's no point of reference. And in many ways, I look at heaven that way. I think heaven's going to be as different from what we know as being in the womb is to being and living in the world. We can only imagine. You know, the scripture in the Old Testament talks about it being a feast. And I love the way that Isaiah described it, the best wine that's strained. You know, we don't have to worry about the dregs of wine when we open bottles today, but in their day and time, you know, Isaiah, most of the common wine was going to be having the bitterness in it. And he says, no, heaven. Boy, that's going to be when the wine is strained. It'll be the best wine and the best food, and it'll be like the best meal you've ever had. That's the way Isaiah describes heaven, the time when we're with God. So we can only imagine because really we can only project our current expectation or experiences onto what heaven is going to be like. And really, I think it's only, you know, going to be compared like to a child in the womb. There's so much more than what we can really expect it to be. You know, last week we sang the song, Morning Cry. And in the last verse, I love that verse. It said, when the evening gently closes in and you shut your weary eyes, I'll be there as I have always been with just one more surprise. You know, to look forward, whatever that surprise is, it's going to be good. Well, what are those things then that we do know about heaven, though? One is that we'll know God fully. You know, that's what he says. He says, I will make my home among mortals and I will be with them. Now, sometimes God feels so far distant. Now we have many questions about God. Then we won't have those questions because we'll fully know God. In fact, St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, now we see through a mirror dimly. Then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I will know fully as I have been fully known. To know the love of God fully. To not have any more doubts or questions but to fully know God and the God who is the God of love, the God who sent his son to die on the cross that we might have life. We've begun to know his love. Now, in the hereafter, we'll know it fully. It's going to be better even than the highest moments we've had in this life. The other thing it tells us is we're going to have a body. You know, we say it in our creed. Every time we say the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, you know, in the twinkling of an eye we'll be raised and our bodies will be immortal and imperishable. Now, once again, we don't know exactly what kind of bodies that will be. Will we all be the same age? Will we all look alike, you know, clones? Will everybody's 25 because that's the perfect age to be, you know? Will you recognize your grandma or grandpa if everybody's 25? Do you age, you grow? I don't know. But it will be a body. And the existence is more like the Garden of Eden than it is the pearly gates, because we'll be raised with bodies, and that we'll live in those bodies. They'll be new and improved, immortal, imperishable. But it'll be an existence kind of like we have had with bodies here. And the other thing, of course, is we will live for eternity. We really can't comprehend that. You know, everything we know is finite, has an ending. But our existence will go on and on. You know, no more tears, no more death, no more suffering, no more doubt. And every day being with God for an eternity. Those are the things the scriptures, you know, hold out before us. They don't answer all the questions, but that's enough for me. To know that I'll know the loving God fully, that I will have an existence of my own, and that I will be with that God for eternity. Now, one of the other questions on All Saints Sunday is, who's going to be there? Who are the saints that go on to enjoy life with God? Well, the Bible says everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You know, too often I think we think of saints as, you know, the really good people, you know, a Martin Luther who stood up for his faith and was willing to die, a Mother Teresa just pouring out her life for the poor, a Billy Graham, you know, dedicating his life to sharing the gospel, or the other picture you might not recognize, Albert Schweitzer, an incredible Christian man, talented, but gave his whole life toward helping the poor in Africa. You know, and sometimes we think, oh, those are the saints. Or maybe you think of people that you know that are shining examples of the faith. You know, I think of Pastor Enter here, the founder of this church for 35 years. You know, you think of, I think of Freda Midstoke now in a nursing home at 98, you know, so restricted, but how she poured out her life for this congregation. Or people you have known that said, oh, shining example of what it meant to live as a child of God. But, you know, saints are the whole body of Christ. Saints are not just the shining examples. Saints are the ones that struggle with addiction. Saints are the ones who struggle with doubt. Saints are not perfect. Saints are forgiven. Let me say that again. Saints are not perfect. Saints are forgiven. And that's what makes us saints. In Christ, we are forgiven. All our sins are wiped away, and we are sinless. That's what makes us saints in the end. So today, we thank God for all the saints. We thank God for those who have passed away this past year, and others of you who maybe just more than 1 year are still grieving the loss of people that you have missed. We give thanks for those who are shining examples of faith and service And we give thanks for those saints who struggled with addiction and struggled with their lives, but continued to find forgiveness in Christ. Together, all the saints look forward to that day of resurrection when we will praise God and live in His love forever. May God keep us in the faith until that day. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Lord God, thank you for visions. Thank you for memories of past people who have inspired us and who help us along our journey of faith. Lord, thank you for visions of the future, that despite whatever shortcomings we may know that we have, in you there is forgiveness, and in you we, each one of us, is a saint. Not because we're so good, but because you are so forgiving. And the hope you hold out for your saints is to be with you for eternity. May that be our hope, in Jesus' name. Amen.